Let's just pray. Merciful Father, thank you for St. Paul and his wisdom and his life and his wonderful words. Help us better understand your will for our lives, and help us this Christmas to know your grace and your love. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel as a Christian that Christian life, we're never really good enough. If you look out and you see the needs of the world, the needs of others, it's endless. Whatever we do, whatever we are, there's a sense sometimes that you can never fulfil what God demands of you, and that in some way or other you're always a sort of displeasure to God. When I studied child development as part of my teaching Bachelor of Education degree, I was taught that if you constantly criticise and humiliate children and young people, you know, saying they're no good and they should just be quiet sort of thing and all that, you know, what we consider now to be sort of Victorian behaviourism, the children grow up damaged and they become adults with all kinds of attachment issues and self-esteem issues. And they also learn to be critical of others and then often end up being bullies themselves. And as a nation, I say this, we have been very good at doing that, turning our young people into hypercritical and bullies and people of low self-esteem and low sense of self-worth. And the church, I have to say, has played a part in that. Well, when people I know, my neighbours and people I work with in the Bethlehem and Maudsley Hospital School and people I come across in my hobbies and interests, when they find out that I go to church, when they find out that I'm actually ordained minister, they get very confused about it. Sadly, many just say to me, you know, how angry they are with the church and how angry they are with God because of what they experienced when they were children. And I'm not surprised when I hear some of their stories. Many can't understand why somebody like me would bother to be a Christian or why we would want to go to church and follow Christianity. They don't understand why somebody with a reasonable trickle of intelligence, integrity that I sometimes show that I have, would ever bother to believe in the fairy tale that is Christianity. And we take Jesus, he's harsh, isn't he? He's very harsh sometimes in his teaching. You know, he talks of weeping and gnashing of teeth and regret and woe and all this sort of stuff. And he's really heavy on the Pharisees. Really, really heavy. He calls them sons and daughters of hell. And then he puts us in a terrible situation because he says, you know, it doesn't matter about what you do if you think it is bad enough. You know, thoughts of murder, thoughts of adultery, thoughts of theft and all these other things. He says it's just as bad to think those things as do it. Now, if I was to be honest with you, you know, I just have to get in my car and drive the London streets. And very quickly, I begin to have evil thoughts, you know, especially about SUV drivers and so on. You know what I mean? If we're honest with each other, it doesn't take long for our minds to drift and our real intent, perhaps, to come out. Then we check ourselves and so on. It's like we're in a no-win situation. But, and there's always a but, isn't there? But, you got today's epistle. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. It's what I call a restart button passage. When you read that passage, it presses the reset. We go back to where we are. We begin to understand the love and grace of God. We're Protestants, right? We are Protestants. We're a Protestant church. We believe that we're saved not by deed, but by through grace. Okay. It's worth reading again. I'm going to use the NIV version because it's very short. I'm not saying that Chris read it very well and he put a lot of animation into it, but I'm just going to read it because I want the words to come through. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, we know those passages. There's a great hymn, isn't there? Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. You know, there's a chorus. There's also the words of the peace. And we technically cannot proceed to Holy Communion unless you have a peace, because the peace puts you right with your fellow man, so you can be put right with God. And then there's this wonderful line in there: do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. All those things we worry about that keep us awake at night, you know, that cause my ulcer to aggravate. No, I don't have an ulcer. But the point is that things that make us anxious. And Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, because, you know, pass everything in prayer and be grateful. And he also reads this: the Lord is near. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. The Lord is very, very near. And when it comes to intent, intent begins in the heart and in the mind, right? So if the Lord is near, he can deal with the intent as well as forgiving the deed. And if we stray, God will come and find us. He's not far away. He can reach out his hand and pull us back in again. He can grab us as we sink in the waves, or whatever metaphor you want to use. God will give us the grace to cope with any given situation. And even if, like John the Baptist in the gospel reading, you know, we're cross-examined by 20 questions plus by hostile, cynical interrogators. Later in the gospel, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will give you the words to answer any question. Do not worry. Do not be anxious about anything. God will give us the right words and the right things to say in any given moment. So you have prayer, protection, peace, and divine advice. And that contributes, is the mix that makes up Christian hope. And if you're ever stuck for words, you know, and people do get stuck for words in the moment, you've got the Lord's Prayer. It contains everything you need: adoration, acclamation, needs, forgiveness, protection. It's all there. Just say the Lord's Prayer. I say it every morning as I drive to work. And it's a great passage, the Philippians epistle reading, for the end of the year. I know it's not the end of the Christian year. We've had that. But it's the end of our calendar year. And we join in with the rest of the nation thinking about 2024 and new things to come. But it's a great passage to end a difficult year, a difficult and horrible year for some. And I believe possibly a difficult year ahead too, as we face elections and other prospects and change. But let's keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Let's keep our eyes and words, hearts and minds in prayer, praying constantly and living at peace with one another, with our world and with ourselves. Amen. We continue with our offertory.